You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good evening and welcome back to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast. There's only two of us here thus far. Jake's still on his extended break. Jordan's a bit late, but I'm delighted to say I am joined even by Mr. Beans and Little Sausages himself, Ric Flair. How are you, mate?
I'm all right, mate. I will never let you down, Jack. You know that. I will always be here, Nod off about half an hour ago. I was doing bedtime with Oscar and nodded off. So I could have nearly missed one, but no, still 100%.
Is that your storytelling ability? Just put yourself to sleep?
I was reading Wind in the Willows, which is a hard story to read, mate, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Is Wind in the Willows with Mr. Toad?
Mr. Toad. From Mr. Toad. Let's start with him. it don't flow well, if I'm honest. And woke up with the book on the floor. Oscar was asleep snoring. So yeah, that went down well. So I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I've realised I've just spilt. I've had a kebab, and I've just spilt chili sauce all over my desk. I'm good. Had a good day Saturday. Enjoyed the game. It's always good when you win late on at home. Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs where you win late on are always good. I really enjoyed that. Obviously, international break, which for you and I means that we're pretty bored. I've had plenty to do around the house, so lots of prep for the quiz, so we're in good shape for that, which is pleasing. We've got a lot to talk about tonight.
It won't
be just you and I. Jordan will turn up eventually, and then we've got a guest to come on as well, which I'm quite excited about. We should probably start with the Watford game. Just so I check what we've got to talk through. I want to talk about atmosphere on Saturday. I want to talk about the TIFO. We're going to play Who Are You? We're going to talk about Everton's points deduction because we've not done that yet. And then we're going to talk about pies and other such things being thrown at people because there's... Someone stopped me on the. I got the bus in from Harborough on Saturday, and I got stopped by a lad and his mate. It's called Amish. And he was telling me his dad had a pie thrown at him at the game once. And
right, isn't it? It's happened a lot.
Yeah, it is. And the other lad I was with knows. Am I allowed to name the bloke that got hit by the pie? It's not.
Yeah, because I've sent a message to Lee Eckersley.
He knows Lee Eckersley, so he did confirm your story. So we've got a lot to talk about there too. So should we start with the Watford game?
Let's do it, mate. I mean, I've got a confession to make. Obviously, I was in London this weekend, so you've seen the old caboodle. I've seen the extended highlights.
Two people said to me on Saturday they were giving me stick about you lot only watch the extended highlights. So you're not doing us any good there, Rick. But
no, well, I usually watch as there's probably only a handful of games I've not seen as what. Although we have only played 17, but I usually do. But I was actually away this weekend, so I was trying to keep up with it. In the big smoke. Well, I saw Jake at High Rocks. So I've seen him, and he weren't doing it. No, he was just watching, and then he was tootling off to clean his flat because he got guests coming. I mean, you say your bit. You can ask me what I think, but yeah, I'm very much wanting your view because I've read a lot about what's happened, and on the face of it, it sounds like back to business. Created a lot of chances, which has been my biggest criticism. So I can't complain after what I look on paper what we've done.
Yeah, and people are complaining. I think what I would say, first 40 minutes was a bit pedestrian. Watford had a good chance early on. I mean, their striker, by the way, one of the worst strikers I've ever seen at this level. And there's some bad strikers at this level. He
got a hat trick as well before the game. The game of the international break, he got a hat trick.
He got a hat trick. Oh, yeah. He won 5-0, didn't he? Not very good. But we had good control in the game. I thought it looked like we missed Winks early on. Didn't really create a huge amount. Ian actually had a decent chance, but sort of fluffed it. Justin took a quick free kick, probably one of the better chances as well. Dewsbury Hall, who I thought had a good game sort of from start to finish, actually, put a decent ball over. But then I think we woke up 5 minutes before and there was sort of an extended period of pressure. Casey, you know, again, didn't have a particularly great game, but he gets in really good positions.
He does.
I think there's a striker in waiting there. Which I don't like playing players in positions they've never played in, but he just seems to have that knack about him. Decent header, unlucky, obviously. I mean, people that have seen the game, this isn't great analysis, is it? But then second half, I thought we were much, much better. I thought actually just after we bought Fatuhu on, I mean, he's ridiculous, Fatuhu, in that I think he's got one goal, one assist in however many games played for us. But he's had such a big impact, and he's one of our best players. I can't really work him out. I thought Mavididi was very good, actually. One is unlucky not to score. Actually, caught the ball decently for once, and did a lovely nutmeg and turned his back on it. And we did a 1-2 with Dewsbury Hall, lost it and turned his back on it. If he sort of kept on it, he would have scored. So I thought. Second half, I thought, was one of the best performances I've seen from us this season. You did think at one stage it just wasn't going to happen. I mean, Vardy misses two really good chances and you just think it's not his day, and then he punches himself in the face and, you know, big Yannick has become big Yannick. You know, like jumping and becoming smaller. He seems to be becoming bigger now. He almost got a really good header just before the header for the goal. Yeah. And then, you know, decent contact with the one. Vardy's actually an underrated finish, actually, as well, because he has to keep it down and running towards it. And their goalkeeper's an absolute prat because he claimed he had cramp on 60 minutes on the coldest day of the year. But suddenly, when we scored, he was absolutely fine again. He was running around like a spring chicken. So it wasn't sorry to see him get sent off. But But no, had we not scored, it would have been one of those frustrating games. But I think, you know, you look back on the game, I think we had 24 shots or something. I think the most we've had this season. So from that point of view, I think that's very good. And then you put into the context that, add in the context rather, that Watford are unbeaten in six and most clean sheets in the league. Well, they're certainly...
They are defensively very good, yeah. So
actually, I think that's credit to us, really. So, so yeah, it was pleasing, but I think we've got something like 9 games in 33 days now or something. So,
it's going to be relentless, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that.
We're going to have to rotate well. It's funny because we rotated really well, you know, in between the first and second international break. The first and the second one, but when you're winning games, it seems so easy, doesn't it, to rotate and know what to do. And then just before this last international break, I feel like Maresca didn't rotate that much that I thought he would do. And we seemed like we were desperate for the international break. And yet, the proximity between the two was only 4 games or 5 games. So we've now got 9 games relentless. There's no international break until March. We really are going to have to really manage the squad well. And then we're going to lose 4 plus players to AFCON. This is where it's going to get interesting. I think we should be the beneficiaries, really, because of the strength in depth. And at this moment in time, you know, I'm always first to sling shit about the injury record down at Seagrave, but the international break has afforded us to get 2 or 3 back, and Doyle only being a few weeks away now as well. Let's hope that continues, because we're going to need them all. I only saw the highlights, but it looked to me second half the intensity and tempo seemed a lot quicker. The chance creation in the second half. I think the XG for the second half alone was like north of 2.5 or something, 2.5, which is...
It wasn't very... I think it was like 0.35 in the first half. Yeah. We ended up with 3. Look at us, XG experts. Honestly.
Well, I've grown to love
XG. That's what everyone wants to know. What were they expecting to see?
Oh, I'm going to hold my hands up. I've not looked this week. I'll have a little scrabble about later and look. But
I don't even know where you can find expected assists. I had a look around the other week.
You can find them. You can still find it. Cuban heels. It looked to me like they were flooding the box with players as well. Maresca named.
Yeah, actually had players in the box, which was good.
So they've been working on that, I think. That's something you can see he's probably taken away at the international break and worked on. And that's what we need. You know, I'm sure we'll get on to whether this style of football is everyone's cup of tea or not. But whether it's mine or not, it is what it is. I can see where you hurt teams in any style of football. And that is, you've got to get players in the box, or you've got to create space so that those running onto it have got a clear sight at goal. We were doing neither in the games leading up to the international break. So that's really promising. We've got some favourable games. We've still got some tricky ones. I think West Brom away, you know, they've done a Ipswich. And Corberan, as a manager, he's a canny manager. He'll often tweak his tactics to suit who the opposition is, as opposed to being very much, this is how we play and we'll die playing that way that Maresca might be. And Plymouth beat Sunderland this weekend. They won't be that easy either. So, yeah, we'll... And great for Vardy to get to, because, you know, those 2 chances he missed beforehand were quite jaw-dropping, really. So he's a streaky player, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
This could well, again, spark another run of goals. So we need to get him whilst he's, in form and utilise that before it wears off.
Yeah, and I actually owe an apology to Jamie Vardy, because I sent a WhatsApp in our group saying he's gone after he missed that left foot volley, because it was a stinker.
Yeah.
And then Jordan reminded me that you never write the goat off. And he's, for once, he's absolutely right. So I'll give him that, but yeah, like, just it's just great to see him scoring goals. I know some prat wrote an article about, you know, playing Harry Suter up front, but you know, for me,
that's what the international break does to us. That's why we yeah, and it nearly, mate, got some traction.
Well, the interesting bit on that, and I hadn't thought of this, but the poll that you put up, or Dave on the Fosway put up, and if you haven't read the article, it's actually, you know, Ric Flair at his finest. It's on the Fosway. It's still there. I would recommend everyone goes to read it if you haven't. But, I mean, the long and short of it was Harry Suter has a 1-in-2 ratio of scoring goals for Australia in international football. Therefore, we should probably play him up front. I think it was sort of largely it, complete with your...
Pretty
you know,
much. There's a little bit of nostalgia about defenders come strikers and, you know, the modern game shouldn't be such snobs in dismissing such football. But yeah.
Exactly that. But the interesting bit for me was Iheanacho was the preferred choice of people to start, which, you know, he played well for Nigeria again, but it's another game where he was pretty average on Saturday, and it just, we're so, that is one position that I have no idea who our best option is now, because it might be Dak, or it might be Cannon, you know, it might be Suter.
Well, until you see it.
Goals now, and you look at his minutes per goal ratio, it's one every 133 minutes. So he's still putting them away, but the performances aren't quite there. I mean, that said, after he scored the goal on Saturday, he looked a different player. And I mean, you know, the one where he's got the wrong side of the defender. It's a great header by Cassidy to set up the penalty. And
yes, it was. Yeah.
Side of him. You know, that's just clever movement. That was really pleasing as well. I genuinely don't know who will play on Wednesday, because he might play Cannon.
Cannon needs a run out, whether that's from the start in his debut or whether he comes off the bench. I'd be more inclined to do Vardy and then Cannon with 30 to go or something. But, you know, again, you got to see whether Vardy's hitting a rich vein of form, because he will. He'll just go on and score and score and score, even at this age. He's always been a streaky player, but usually the streaks lasted a long time, 11 games on the spin, etc. But, yeah, I've stuck up for Iheanacho so much. And I was one of those that really thought this level he would be too good, even with his deficiencies and his poor first touch. I've been really disappointed in him. I really have. I you know, I'm not covering new ground here, really, but he is wasteful in front of goal, and he can finish. There's something in his game at the minute. I have to question his application, because it can't be anything else. He gets more space at this level. Okay, the system doesn't necessarily support the strikers as others do, but, you know, the chances he's missed this season, I've not been impressed. So I didn't obviously see that much of what he did on Saturday, but, you know, I think he needs to take a back seat now and let Vardy and Cannon.
He didn't have a stinker, but he also didn't. He didn't do much. And then the one chance he did have, which was a really good chance, he messed up and he claimed his shirt got pulled, but I'm not really having that.
Yeah.
Couple of bits I did want to talk about after the Watford game. Unbelievable tifo from Union FS.
Yes.
I think that's my favourite that they've ever done. I just think that's so kind of centered around the city, and, you know, clearly because the clock tower is in the center of the city, but I love the fact that they talk up Leicester when everyone else talks it down as a city. And, you know, the club don't really talk about the city that much, so it was nice that they were allowed to do that, because the display just looked brilliant in the way they did
it. Was class, and it's been well received. So I mean, I don't know, I'm sure I don't know, like, who else at the clubs perhaps acknowledged it, but from the fan base, I've seen so much plaudits, etc., on Twitter, which is great. And hopefully, you know, funding or fly in to help raise for other ones.
We'll make sure we do a link to their fundraiser, because there's a lot of people doing that in their spare time, and it obviously costs money, storage, warehousing, materials, all that. So, you know, the fact that they put that on and do that.
For the ability to do it, isn't it?
I mean, have no idea how they do. I mean, we'll have to get Charles
because,
you know, how they actually do it. I think there's the video they've done is brilliant as well.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
they've got
really
some, like, old footage. I mean, God knows where they got that from. But I think it's in like a sports hall or something they're doing it. But I can't even comprehend sort of mapping it out. How you get that to work. Like, my mind just won't work like that. I mean, someone's obviously very smart in how they do it. So
I'd struggle to put the cards out in order. Do you know, with like the white and blue, I'd have them all over the place. It looked like a snake, as opposed to. But yeah, no, I was really impressed, and they deserve the plaudits, because, you know, that there's a lot of time and effort in it, and you know, it is authentic. It's easy to raise a few grand and buy it off the internet, like a certain other club from the Midlands tend to do. But yeah, no, really impressed. So well done to everyone involved.
Yeah, good. Okay, we'll do a quick commercial break and then we'll come back and talk about something else.
Yeah.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Right. So one thing I did want to talk about, and actually, I had a message on Saturday night from someone saying, can you please talk about this in the pod? In fact, I'll read the message out I had for them. Please do me a favor on the next pod, pal. Please address that fucking awful, not strong enough atmosphere, not strong enough language, atmosphere in the first half. I was honestly embarrassed by both sets of fans. I could hear the keeper giving instructions. I don't normally get too worked up about it today, but today I thought we were in mourning and no one told me. I know we were dog shit in the first half, but I've never known it be that silent. I didn't think we were that bad in the first half, but it was dead. And I did wonder, because I've moved to this, I've moved closer to the singing section now. I'm not in it, but I'm just to the side of it. But obviously those boys weren't there, because a lot of them were holding out the sign at the start. And it was just, you know, compared to the Leeds game, whether it was a night game or whatever, the Leeds game, there was actually something going on. But it's just dead. And I've actually been a bit sort of, well, you know, it's not good anywhere in England. And it's not really. There aren't many grounds that are sort of rocking from minute one to minute 90. But I think it's not even that now. It is just, I don't know what people really want. And I know not everyone goes to, you know, sing from, you know, minute one to minute 90. And, you know, I'd probably, you know, I'd be hypocritical to say, because I'm not like that, but I'll get involved when I can. But it's just crap. And it just needs to be better than that. And it's, you know, it's the singing section are giving it a right good go. And I can hear that. I mean, the Watford fans were probably some of the worst I've seen.
They're always poor, yeah.
I'm at the opposite end of the ground, but I did not hear one song. And that's the first time this season I've not heard anything from them. I mean, who did we play last year? Newport or someone. And there were about 200 of them. I genuinely heard more out of them than however many came from Watford. So that wasn't good. But I don't know what. I'm just ranting here. I'm not offering any solutions, but it's crap. And I know we had Jack and Potato Man who made the point last week, but it's just, you know, people, you go to football for a bit of atmosphere. Yeah. You know, the football's actually the bit that gets in the way. You go to catch up with your mates and listen to a bit of atmosphere, don't you really? So, but it was just, it's so bad now. And we're top of the league. So, you know, it's not because
it's not the performances. No.
Yeah.
You can't, I get what was being said last season about, well, and you know, thing is, the managers and players will often go on record to say it's our responsibility to give the fans something to cheer about, and then they'll get behind us. But you know, we're breaking records, and our atmosphere is poor. You know, what on earth is going to happen in order for it to get any better? I don't know, because you can't even say, oh, well, we need to play counter-attacking football. It's because it's not. Because it's bullshit. It's not. The loudest we ever get is when the ref's an arsehole.
We take the piss out of Everton for that as well. I mean, their display yesterday was amusing, to say the least. But we'll talk about that a bit later. But that tends to be it now. That gets,
it does.
Crowds going. I mean, and also on Saturday, you can't say, we had 28 shots. So you can't say there wasn't stuff going on for us to get behind. And
I don't know. I think they've got to take drastic measures. Like, everyone has to wear like a collar. And if you don't see it, like if you're not singing, you get an electric shock. or they should do something like, you get like bonus points if you're singing and you get money off your season ticket. Because people will love shit like that. But there's got to be something. You know, I don't think the club do enough to encourage it. Now, they might say, well, you know, everyone's got to be respected for whether they want to sing or not. But it's so boring, isn't it? You know, people moaning about the style of play, it's not. If the atmosphere was better, I think you'd be more up for the football than vice versa.
Yeah, yeah, it's rubbish. But yeah, anyway, I'm delighted to say we are welcomed by our very special guest. Good evening, Michael Regan.
Hello. I can't be that special, surely.
Well, Jordan's pulled out on us this evening, so you are now our third wheel. So we are esteemed to be in your company. So thank you for joining us. I'm excited about this one.
I'm nervous about this one for some reason. It's quite strange playing to your home crowd. Doing a podcast.
What would be an away crowd for you on a podcast? Are you doing
well, like anything that's not Leicester? Like, you know, I've done a few bits and bobs in my time. Do you know what I mean? BBC Breakfast, doing this particular podcast is a nerve-wracking experience, boys.
Would you rather do this podcast or Celebrity Big Brother?
Well, how much are you paying me for this one?
We Scotch make no egg.
Money out of this.
Yeah, I'll take the Scotch egg.
Good man.
As well. Well, thanks for coming on. It's been a long time in the making, this one, but obviously you work a lot of Sundays, so we've not been able to get you on before that. But really, really pleased to have you on. For anyone that doesn't know you, and I'd be surprised if they don't, I was trying to work out how to describe you, but you're a photographer for Getty Images, basically.
It's a football photographer.
Is that your official football photographer for Getty Images?
Mm.
That's
right. Well, yeah, football photographer. I work for in official capacity for the Premier League, the FA, FIFA, UEFA. That's probably
mostly. So for anyone that seen those photos of like Kante with the World Cup and things like that, that was you taking them, wasn't
sometimes
it?
Like not as many as, you know, not as many as I'd like would be mine, but yeah, like I do pop up in some decent locations.
Fair enough. What's your favorite life? What is your favorite photograph that you've ever taken at a
football? My favorite, yeah, like I'd be no surprise to say that my favorite picture was as Premier League photographers doing Leicester. We get an exclusive spot away from the other photographers to photograph the Premier League trophy presentation. So when Leicester won it, it was really the first year that I did it. I kind of said to the office, look, you're not, I'm going to be the official photographer on that one. Thanks very much. And we kind of steamed in. Me and Neil Plum, who's the official club photographer.
Yeah.
Broke protocol a little bit and just steamed in on wide angles when we lifted up the Premier League trophy. And that is my favourite picture by a long shot. And you do, it pops up all over the place. And it's probably not the best medium for photography, a podcast, but whenever it pops up, it feels like it's not even my picture anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like it's just part of that win, part of that special time. And so that's my favourite picture without shadow.
Amazing.
But even if, as a Leicester fan, that's my favourite picture. But even if I wasn't a Leicester fan, then photographing that title win, no matter what, do you know what I mean? In the annals of history, it's an incredible thing, as we all know.
I think visually our title celebrations as well was unbelievable. Like the whole thing with Bocelli and, the sort of aerial views, it was just stunning. And as a club that had only got a couple of weeks to sort of plan it, you know, we're not used to having to put on celebrations. I thought it was ace.
The Botticelli thing and the flags and it was, but it just looked more special because it was, do you know what I mean? It just looked different, didn't it? Because it was not in the same old stadiums and not the same old thing. And that Botticelli thing was brilliant. Fell out of the club, didn't he, when we sacked Ranieri. Like, I don't think he's much of a fan of us anymore, but
let's hope he likes Maresca.
Didn't he say something? I'm sure he said something.
He did, rings a bell. Yeah, I'm sure he did.
Yeah. Hates Leicester, that lad. Hates us.
Threw his shirt away. Although it always irritated me, he didn't have a number on it. I've got a bit of a pet hate about people who just have...
Did he just have his name on with no number?
Yeah, he said his name on. Yeah, irritated me.
Yeah, it doesn't look right, does
Chav.
It?
Chav.
Just looks like he probably couldn't afford the number.
No.
Yeah, they normally do that with signing. You know, when they'd sign, like you'd sign players before you gave them a squad number or whatever. That's the only time you'd ever see that, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, for like press conference photos, when a player signs, that you'd see that, or you'd see some random
a
number.
Manager turning
like, up. The amount that they spent. Akinbaye, didn't he? Akinbaye's press conference, which I don't think I covered. He had 5.5 on his shirt, didn't he?
He did,
Showing off how much we'd spent on him.
It'd be amazing if they did that now, wouldn't they? Like 100 million or whatever.
It's written on the back.
Yeah.
It'd be the size of that suit that David Price wore that time. You know, the one that's size 80. Just get all the numbers on.
That is absolutely amazing. That image is phenomenal. Right. So we've not just brought you on this to be guest host of Who Are You, but you have promised us you are going to do a Who Are You for us.
Yeah, I'm not very good at Who Are You. When I listen to the pod, I'm not very good at it. And I kind of sometimes tune out and I just tune back in because you're all rowing about it being on before, the player being on before or whatever. So
I've sent you the list, and this is partly why you're on as guest host, so that we don't row amongst ourselves. Although with only two of us on, I'd say Rick's probably going to win this, but I won last week. So
you won, didn't you? So
first one for a while.
I could be out of form.
Yeah, you could be. So I will play the theme music, and then the floor is yours.
Okay.
Who is your daddy? And what does he do?
Who are you?
You.
No, not me, you.
Yes, I am you.
Just answer the damn questions. Who are you?
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Right, Michael, the floor is yours.
Okay, so he's born.
I don't need to explain the rules to you.
No, I've gendered.
Long time listener, first time caller, yeah.
He was born on the 15th of June, 1981. And if you want to know how old that makes him, 15,500 days old.
You're confused.
I've got it.
42, isn't he?
42.
I don't know. I forgot. I didn't write that down after I did that bit.
Yeah. 42. You've confused me slightly because what you said earlier was how far can I go back?
Well, yeah, but then I couldn't go to that particular
right. Date, okay. Right.
I'll have a wild punt. Matt Heath.
No, it's not.
I've not. No.
He was under heavy consideration when I was looking to do it.
I'm not going to guess this round.
No problem. He was released in May 2012 with 7 appearances.
Bakayoko, the left back from Tranmere.
No, it's not.
Okay.
7 appearances. 2012.
I'm just happy to get this far.
It's good. If you get past the second clue, I think you've got further than about the last 7 people who've done this. For those listening, it's silent because Rick's making strange faces and nodding his head.
Is it Michael Johnson?
No, but I'd considered him as well. No, it's not.
2012 would be a bit late for him, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but I'm thinking it was that back end of the Spen era, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say he was the he made 84 Premier League appearances, not with Leicester. And his name was misspelt on his back in every...
Mark Schwarzer. Season.
No. 84 appearances, not with Leicester in the Premier League.
Hey, Mark Schwarzer would be far more than that. Pratt.
Yeah, and he was with us when we won the league, weren't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I've really messed that one up, haven't I?
John Pantsill.
Oh! Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, yes. No.
So glad. I'm so glad you completely ran out of clues after that.
Because he would.
That was good. That was a good one.
Was his name spelled wrong? Because it was paint. It was always paint. So it always had an extra I in it.
I think they spelt it when he came over to Europe. I think he was registered as Pantsill, P-A-N-T, but
right.
Actually it would have been Paintsill, I think.
Yeah, because I was always confused. Okay. Did they spell his name wrong?
Yeah, that's spelt wrong. But for some reason, Casemiro didn't correct anyone either.
Well, it's a bit like if you turned up in a foreign country and someone just gets your name wrong and you can't speak the language, you'd just crack on, wouldn't you, after a while, I guess?
Yeah.
I would anyway.
If everyone's going to do it. Now, I can't really remember Pantsill at all, to be honest, but...
No, did he get sent off?
No,
he sent off away at Birmingham. No, no.
No, he didn't. He just.
I know he played way at Birmingham. We lost 2-0.
He never played under Pearson. As soon as Pearson came in, he never played. Mm. You can just see the Wikipedia coming out.
Yeah, yeah. I thought he wasn't there that late, but because he didn't play that much under us, because Peltier was ahead of him, wasn't he?
He's still playing.
I can't remember where he's playing now. Is he? Because he was in the Prem. He was at Cardiff or something.
Peltier at Rotherham. Peltier's still somewhere in this league because
didn't he
score against Cov the other week? He scored against Coventry, Peltier.
He's at Rotherham this season. Now.
Yeah, Rotherham, that's it.
But he was at Middlesbrough and before then he was at West Brom.
Cardiff. Did he get Cardiff for a bit?
He's actually been co-caretaker. He's actually... No, that can't be now. Co-caretaker manager at Rotherham? It can't be now. But I don't know. This is not, again, why we brought you on, but have you seen that interview with the Rotherham chairman on Twitter? If anyone hasn't seen it, it's unbelievable.
No,
he sacked the manager just before the international break. He's turned up. He's dressed like Colonel Sanders.
I've seen a picture of it.
Yeah. And he's gone... Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of people interested in the job, but, you know, I had to go away for a few days, so...
Said he'd been on holiday.
So he's not done anything in the meantime.
Said I didn't have time, so I've just waited for everyone to...
On holiday? Sort of... Unbelievable. Like, it's the most... I mean, he looks like he's had a drink or two, but...
Was it Jordan who said it reminded him of something out of Phoenix Nights? It did.
It was like something out of Phoenix Nights.
Hey, let's not slag Rotherham off too much. They're doing us, they're doing us a favour.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? Friends of the club. They are, aren't they?
My favourite team recently. So, yeah. Now, obviously, Michael, you don't get to that many games now because you'll be covering the Premier League and stuff. Have you seen as much... this season, I went to the Leeds, I shot
the Leeds game, and I knew, I said to anyone that had listened when I turned up, like, we'll lose now, because
it was your fault, was it?
The only time I've been, but apart from that, I just watched a couple of games on TV, but it's, I think when you first text me about coming on, I was like, look, I can watch Leicester, but I'm not a massive tactician, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think with my job, because you sat pitch side and you kind of tuned into the narrative of the match to a certain extent, which is normally your goals or your red cards or managers that are going to get sacked or stuff. I've just not had really a lifetime. I think because of the way my dad brought me into supporting Leicester anyway, it's just, I'm not an expert in how we play. Do you know what I mean? But when I went to that Leeds game, it did strike me about the new style of play and how it's, I just looked at it and thought, yeah, I can see why people are frustrated. Do you know what I mean? But don't care. We're winning. Do you know what I mean? That's all that bothers me. It's interesting when, fans that, you see it from the top four fans on Twitter or from anyone really, like all these football clubs that have got a way, like there's a Derby way and there's a Man United way. Yeah, there's a Derby way. It's, if you go into their press room, there's something written on the press room about.
Really?
I knew what the Derby way was. Yeah, I know.
Would love to know what it is.
Ways are there? There's other ways, aren't there? Who else has got a way? There's several clubs that
have got a way. Spurs, Tottenham have got
Spurs
one,
way.
Yeah.
The Arsenal way, which is obviously very classy. All these different ways exist. I couldn't care less about a way. I just want to send the away fans home miserable. You know, that's what I go for when I go to watch a game.
I can agree with that. And it's interesting what you say about like how you watch football, because presumably you're sort of looking, like you said, like looking for players about to lose their head or a manager like doing something silly. Are you almost not really watching the game in that sense, or do you still feel like you get a good view of the game in what you do?
You get a good view because sometimes you're right, you're literally right there, right, it's on top of you, and you kind of feel a little bit involved because you've got to be ready for whatever happens, and it's a lot about kind of predicting what's going to happen, and they might have a midfielder on the ball and he looks up and you think, okay, he's going to ping it over here, so you get ready and you want to arrive where the ball is, so you're concentrating on different things, whereas. And I always think, I don't know anything about football. I was never a footballer. I never got into playing football. So I never recognise, I never come away going, oh, so-and-so did a good job. But he was ticking over in defensive midfield, or so-and-so was setting the pace. I just don't see that kind of stuff. I see it when I do go and watch Leicester and I sit up in the stand, you see it a lot more. I remember going to see Everton a couple of seasons ago, Leicester-Everton, and just being really amazed by Yuri Tillemans and how bad he was, because you just don't see it. You just don't see it. I
really thought you were going to praise him.
Nice. Left.
But all of a sudden, I could see what everyone was getting on at. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, so I it's a different way of watching it. And in a way, it's more involved. But it does mean that I'm not as technically into the whole football and the inverted
fullbacks
you've got.
It blows my mind a bit. I watched the game. Oh, sorry, Jack. I was going to say against Stoke. I was quite near. I was only six rows from the front, and it's hard to really see the pit, like everything that's happening. So if you're right down there on, It's hard, isn't it? You don't see the runners. You don't see the, you know, as you say, who's ticking over and who's picking up switch. So it's very difficult to read it. I can see why some managers have gone to sitting in the, you know, the stands. Pearson did it, didn't he, for a while with us in his second spell.
I was thinking that the other day, because Ten Hag's done it because he's been sent off a few times, hasn't he? And then someone else has done it. But managers don't do that anymore, do they?
It's died, isn't it? It's a trend. Remember Sam Allardyce at Newcastle sat there with all those monitors in front of him?
Yeah.
I don't know where that's gone.
Yeah, it's just vanished, didn't it? Pearson was a bit of a comeback. And then that was it. But yeah, it's a completely different game. Completely different game when you sat up there. And but you do, I suppose you do get stuff from sitting pitchside. I always feel like you feel, you know, much more involved. If you're going with kids, you might want to sit lower down, and as you get older, you drift up to the top. Indeed. But it's all about atmosphere, I think. If you're shooting a game, you pick up on the way the crowd are with certain players, and you kind of work out from there who they're getting and who's frustrating them and who's doing well.
Yeah, I was listening to something the other day, and they were talking about how, like, an English crowd, you can tell what's going on in the game without looking at the pitch, just by listening to the crowd.
Yeah,
I think that's you can feed off that, I guess.
Yeah, I would say I'm probably, you know, you can tell the different noises. You could say, like, a potential red card tackle is a very different noise to a contested throw in, obviously. Do you know what I mean? Like, and every different scenario has its own noise. And so, and as a photographer, it really helps when a crowd are into it, because I know you're talking about the Leicester atmosphere when I logged on, and it really helps when the crowd are into it, because otherwise, where was I the other day? I don't want to slag any.
We don't get many opposition fans that listen to that.
You'll probably
be all right.
I did first v second, and it was a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday, Man City Arsenal, and I wouldn't wish that. I wouldn't wish. It was just. Yeah, part of it was a kickoff, but it was really quiet. It was unbelievably quiet. And there's actually, to be fair, Guardiola said in his after-match press conferences where he got asked about it, because four times during the second half, we all got pictures of it. He was like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, giving it, for anyone that's listening. He was cupping his ear and raising his hands to the crowd and saying, look, you've got to make more noise. And he was pointing at the Liverpool fans and saying, listen to them, make more noise.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I wouldn't swap that. I don't care how many European Cups you win, you don't want that on a Saturday afternoon, do you?
No. Do you think, because we were talking about this before, do you think you go to more grounds than we do, is atmosphere in England not anywhere as good as it used to be? Or is that just something I've imagined?
Yeah, I'm a bit of an atmosphere connoisseur because it's the same for you. Like, when you were growing up at school and obviously supporting Leicester, and everyone else was running around as Man U fans and Liverpool fans, like, one of the only insults you could throw at them was like, yeah, but your atmosphere's crap. You've got a bad atmosphere. Like, no one cares there. Do you know what I mean? And it's, I always find it interesting listening to atmospheres, and you can't beat an English atmosphere. Like, you just can't. Like, you might go away to Turkey, or you can go away to all these exotic places and go and do a big old game. But there's something sharp about an English atmosphere. There's something reactive about an English atmosphere. So you kind of might have a bit of a wall of noise. You might go and do, I don't know, Dortmund or Galatasaray, and they're just there and they're giving it all the jumping up and singing the songs for the whole 90 minutes. And you're like, oh, fair play, they're singing for the whole 90 minutes. But it's great and it's amazing and everything. But you lose something, because the players need fans to get behind them in a more, in that reactive way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean,
Look at, and Leicester, you know, like in the glory years, or when, you know, in those games, you know, Leicester Man United sticks out for me when Vardy got his record. But every single kick had its reaction, and a positive reaction as well. And you don't get that. I've not heard that in other countries to that extent. I can't think of any. It's more kind of like just a generic noise, if you see what I mean.
It's almost like you need the quiet periods to then be reactive to what's happening in the game to then get the intensity. It's just a shame we don't get a bit more intensity at Leicester, because it's been very flat now for quite a while and we're doing well again.
Yeah, I guess that's what you're talking about. When I
yeah, it's just difficult because maybe we've got a distorted view of it, but it does feel like...
I'll tell you what it is. Right, every
club fucked it by winning the league.
Totally. It's entitlement and it's expectation kills an atmosphere. Yeah. They're the two things that kill an atmosphere. Look at our atmosphere nosedived after the title win, but in the Champions League it was great because all of a sudden we were like, okay, what can we achieve again? Like, we can overachieve here. I think that's what will kill an atmosphere. And you know, like Newcastle's atmosphere is great at the moment, brilliant. It started to be brilliant. The second that they start winning trophies and stuff, I don't care what anyone says, it'll die in its arse.
Yeah. Hasn't their owner already dug them out after Saturday as well? He came out and said, you know, the fans need to match the intensity of the players or something. It was a brave move.
They invented cheering tackles, didn't they, the other week? After the game, they had a clip of someone pressing and knocking it out for a goal kick, and they were like, no one else understands why we cheer this.
I think you're right though, because you know, like Forest, you know, famously magic on and off the pitch apparently, but they've got an atmosphere. I have to say is not bad. That's as far as I'll say it. But they've got nothing to, you know, they feel like they're building towards something by sort of scraping around the lower middle of the Premier League, but that's what they feel like they're building towards. Whereas even that is probably the one thing in the Championship for us. Everyone almost expects us to be where we are now. And I don't know, maybe I'd never expected it's not been a cakewalk, but with the amount of points on the board we've got, like it looks like it has, isn't it? So
I think it will. I think it will be personally. I just think it'll be fine. And yeah, the atmosphere is going to be a bit terrible, and then we'll get into the Premier League and we'll have a few good atmospheres again, because everyone will be like, for the first few games, you know, Tottenham will roll in or whatever, and everyone will get up for it. But it's the same at every club. Like every club, depending on what arc of their story they're on, will have either a terrible atmosphere or an amazing atmosphere. Do you know what I mean? So it's when you hear like, oh, this club has always got an amazing atmosphere. No, it hasn't. Like,
it's all cyclical, isn't it, really? It's like it comes and goes, isn't it?
Yeah, are they overachieving? If they're overachieving, they'll have an incredible atmosphere. If they're underachieving, it'll go dead in its arse.
Yeah.
Goodison Park.
They're good at booing at Goodison, though, aren't they?
That's a great boo. It's a great boo. Goodison. A little bit underwhelming. I went on Sunday and it was a little bit underwhelming after the boo. I think, what's his chops? Overhead kick.
Gnaccio, yeah.
That new stadium, when they start booing in that new stadium, you'll see the ripple go across the river over to Birkenhead. You'll see it. There'll be like a tsunami of boo.
That is amazing. I'm not sure whether you're going to be able to answer this question, but I'm desperate to ask you this. Are there any kind of stories about Leicester players that, in your dealings with them, have either been, I don't know, good, funny, indifferent, that you can share with us?
There's bits that I can share. No, you can't share the best ones, obviously.
I thought you might say that. I tried.
Yeah. I was England photographer for a few years until they got good, and then I wasn't the England photographer anymore. But Vardy was in the squad then, and so I got to know him a little bit, and he was always a player where you know, like how some players have this on-pitch persona of like, oh, he's this nasty little sod on the pitch and he's gobby and he's all full of himself and stuff. Whereas when you actually got to know him, that's exactly how he was in real life as well. he is exactly what it says on the tin on the pitch. Like, nice with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's all right. Like, he's not. But his person, he never disappointed when he came away with England. Like, he was always the Jamie Vardy that you expect him to be. He feels like, to me, with Jamie Vardy, that he's never quite got over the novelty of the fact that he's a world famous footballer. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's never, and he plays with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, so he, when he goes and shushes the fans, he does it because it's just funny. It's like all the stuff that he wished, you know, when you think like, oh, well, if I scored in front of Forrest, I'd go and do that. Why don't footballers go and do that? And he just had the point where he's not grown out of it. Do you know what I mean? And, you know what I mean? Like, I'd be away with England and I'd be sat there keeping myself to myself because it was, you know, you still got big players in the England team and they were still wary of photographers at that point. And he'd just come in and he'd like grab my memory card. Like, I'd been shooting training. I've got a memory card with all my pictures on it. And he'd just come in and go, you know what I mean? Grab it and then shoot straight off and go and sit with like Rooney and Milner, like the two most intimidating kind of glary players in the squad, and just sit there with his arm crossed looking smug, thinking, come on then, come and get your memory card back. Do you know what I mean? Like, because he knows that they're too massive. So then you've just got to walk over and you go, hey, give me that memory card back. And he go, ah, what memory card? And do you know what I mean? Like, immature little jokes, because he just found it hilarious that he was a big famous footballer, I think.
It's like football's never got to him, really.
Totally, yeah, absolutely. Like the novelty just never wore off. Like when we were away after the title win in 2016 in France, and he was linked with Arsenal, and he knew I was a Leicester fan, obviously. And so just at every breakfast, he'd come down and go, oh yeah, just been looking at houses in North London. Do you know what I mean? Like, just trying to wind me up. Just trying to wind me up. But you have to give him a bit back and go, well, to be honest, mate, out you go, because 20 million is an absolute steal. You've got to give him, you have to give him a little bit back. But yeah, I like him for that. But there's, you know, you do get interesting little insights every now and again. Do you know what I mean? Like, I've never gotten over the fact that, you know, I used to just go down Leicester as a kid, you know, some dodgy pub with my dad. We'd never see the warm up. We'd always walk in 10 minutes after the game had started. And you go from that to, I don't know, like, sat there seeing the inside workings of the industry. Do you know what I mean? Like, and just seeing how everyone is. That novelty's never worn off for me either. It's funny, like, name dropping, but I was talking to Harry Kane.
This is what we want you to do, yeah.
Like, yeah, I know, yeah. But I was talking to Harry Kane at England training once, and I said, like...
Did you tell him he was crap at Leicester? Is that what you told him?
I have. I mean, I did speak to him about his time at Leicester. He doesn't particularly like Leicester fans, I don't think, as you can tell.
Bloody schools against us, didn't he?
Well, I know. He got a bit of abuse, I think, during his time, and he's never forgiven Leicester fans for that. I don't think he'll mind me saying. Anyway, he was saying that he was on the pitch for that Watford game in the playoffs, and you forget that. And actually, it was like, I saw an article once that said, can you believe that Vardy and Harry Kane were on the bench for that Leicester against Watford playoff semi-final? And I thought, actually, you know what, I think I've got a picture of that. So I went back and dug the picture out, and it's not sharp on them, but it's sharp on Pearson. You might have seen it.
Yeah.
3 years after the game that I went back and found it was relevant. Anyway, we're talking about that, and he said, oh yeah, you know, I won't do an impression. He says, he goes, I was on the pitch at the end. He goes,
and he should have taken the pen, shouldn't he?
That's what he said. He said, I said to Knockhart, his exact words were, I said to Knockhart, give me the penalty, I'll take it. And he goes, and Knockhart wouldn't let me have it. You know how he is. And I thought, I don't know how he is, really. But now, what a sliding doors moment that is in Leicester City's history. Imagine if he'd have scored that penalty. If he scored that penalty, Tottenham would have won the league. No, they wouldn't. They finished third. But, you know what I mean? Like, just imagine that. And I'm there going, straight away, that's hit me, like, because he probably would have scored it. And he's just there going, probably just annoyed that he didn't get the chance.
He was that bad for us on loan, though, that I'm not sure he would have scored it. Nugent was also on the pitch at the same time, was our penalty taker, and didn't take it either. I've never got over why Knockhart decided he had to take that. Although that might have been one of the best things that's happened in our history because of what happened after it. But
I was there that day, and all the Watford fans running on and squaring up to the Leicester fans on the pitch. You know what I mean? All kind of stood behind the police, kind of giving Leicester lows, and it was very frustrating just to sit there and just surrounded by it all. It was a nightmare.
Speaking of being on the pitch, I asked a question on my own Twitter, and then put it on our Twitter after it, about people being hit with pies or something like that at a football game.
Have you
ever been one of the photographers that get? Have you ever been hit by a football when you're not looking because you're so focused on the game?
Yeah, not badly. Like, I know photographers that have been knocked out and sent.
Really?
Yeah, during the warm up, someone at West Ham was sparkoed ones.
Oh wow!
So you can get hurt by the balls, but I've been hit by coins away at Greece and bat on and covered in beer and you get hit by quite a lot, but nothing ever that's properly gonna hurt you. Saying that, actually, I was at Hampden Park once, and Kane equalised in the last minute, and this half full bottle of bottle of whiskey fucking flew past as he was celebrating, and that would have knocked anyone out.
Yeah.
But, it reminded me when you said that about the pie, because there was I'm sure it was Oldham against Cardiff years and years and years ago. And the Cardiff player scored. I can't remember his name. And I was there. It was, like a lower league match. And I've shot him because he's kind of giving it the big and Vardy-esque to the Oldham fans. And someone's yacked a pie at him and it's hit him square in the face. Square in the face. So he's celebrating. He's giving it the big one like that.
Oh, that is amazing.
And it's hit him in the face. And I've got a shot. And it's so long ago, I'm struggling to find them on the archive. It's from my old firm. But there's a picture of the pie just about to hit him and then exploding on his face. And that's the risk. That's the risk that Vardy's taking, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Because
someone's going to be ready
with a steak and kidney.
That is amazing. Because I kind of feel like throwing a... Just before anyone arrests me, I've never thrown a pie at a football game before I get, tarnished with this. But I feel like being hit with a pie at a football game is slightly different to sort of coins, lighter. I've had people tweeting me with like brick phone chargers and things like that. It wasn't sort of the content I was after. But thank you for responding. But I kind of feel like a pie or a egg or something is kind of fair game.
People get angry, don't they? Sometimes they throw phones on. They just get so annoyed that
I've seen. Remember when Jamie Carragher threw a coin back?
Yeah, remember that?
Oh, yeah, he did. Yeah.
Didn't someone throw a coin back the other weekend? I think someone said, or I think it was on the Daily Mail, like, "Oh, anger is." I can't remember who it was, but that's a rarity. He should have picked the pie up and threw it back,
or eaten it. Because the England players started doing that, didn't they? Started drinking pints after they were thrown on the pitch in certain games.
Yes, I was there for that, actually. Yeah, Grealish did it.
Stick. Yeah, of course. Rice did it as well, didn't they?
Yeah, Rice did it on one side and then Grealish did it on the other, which was quite useful because Rice did it on the other side of the goal to where I was. So I was thinking,
that's
going to be the picture, isn't it? Tomorrow, that's going to be the picture. And then Grealish did it on my side, thankfully.
Yeah.
They didn't use the Grealish one, they used the Rice one, but... But you see it a lot. Pig's head. Someone threw a pig's head on, didn't they, at Barcelona once?
Was that at Figo?
Figo, yeah.
Was that the game where there was another one when someone smuggled in a little moped and lobbed that? Onto the other one. Inter or something, yeah. Nuts. Just bring a little motorised cart in with you.
I was going to read some of these ones out because someone, after apparently after the Middlesbrough game was leaving the ground, someone came past in a car and squirted them with a water pistol, which I think is quite funny. Well, I don't know. Steve Potter messaged in saying someone threw half a bottle of Iron Brew at him, and I said, "Are you sure it was Iron Brew and it wasn't just a hot day?" Because I'm not sure people throw half bottles of Iron Brew, but you know, who knows?
I've been covered by liquid thrown from the crowd a lot of times, and trust me, it's always water. It's always water. Just think to yourself, yeah. It's water. Yeah. Don't think about it being anything else.
Someone's had an apple thrown at them. Semper Eden's had an apple thrown at them at Millwall, which is quite good for a Millwall fan, actually. They're normally normally worse than that. Our friend, original dad bod, sent one in saying, "I knew someone who wondered why the back of his head was drenched during a game, despite it being a dry day. Turns out the bloke behind him couldn't shout without spraying gallons of saliva all over his head." Yeah.
Oh, horrible.
And then there's a lot of coins and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, like going to Roma and going to Napoli and things like that. I don't want to glorify that. There's another one who used to throw sweets at someone, and he threw a hard toffee piece. It bounced off the bloke's head, and he ate it. He caught it and ate it, which I think is fair enough, isn't it?
I think you've got no option in that situation, have you? If you've caught it, you've got to back yourself and eat it.
Yeah, I think you have. So yeah, right. I'm trying to think what else we've got to cover today, Rick. What else did we
Everton's
say
Everton's points deduction?
Yeah, because you were obviously there on Sunday, Michael, for the protests, yeah. which I don't want to. On one hand, I feel a bit sorry for them. On the other hand, they've taken this in a entirely weird way that's not normal, and everyone's against them, even though they were protesting about their owner about 3 months ago, and now they're all one big happy family. It all seems a bit weird to me. But I guess we were going to mention it more, and someone asked me to mention this in the pod in the context of our points deduction. Sorry, in the context of their points deduction and our legal case, or I don't even know if we actually are doing a legal case against them or whatever, or the fact that there is talk of us suing them for 100 million, yeah. Which when I first heard about it, I was just like, we got relegated because we weren't very good last season, not because of financial fair play. But the more I've read about it, the more I think probably I'm in the minority on that, because everyone seems to, you know, want blood from Everton, which I just don't get.
Well, with that argument, like, yeah, we were bad to be down there, but that doesn't rule out the fact that we wouldn't have got relegated if someone else wasn't cheating. I'll pick my words carefully, because Everton are a valued client.
They've been found guilty, haven't they? So
they have been found
guilty of not being in the rules.
There was an interesting moment on Sunday where I was sat just near the Man United fans, and after about 7 minutes, they just turned around and started singing, "You know what you are, you cheating fuckers, you know what you are," or whatever it was. And the Everton fans seemed genuinely surprised and furious that would be levelled at them from other football fans. I think the expectation was that Man United fans would all stand there and hold up the corrupt signs and kind of join in solidarity. And they were really shocked when Man United just started taking the piss. It's funny how the perception can be different to the reality. But I mean, it's one of them, isn't it? I'm not going to get that wound up about it, because we're having a great season.
Yeah, I mean, that's partly my take as well. Just get on with it, get ourselves back and worry about it later. But I guess the point is, if you're an accountant and you're looking at the spreadsheet and going, there's a giant hole here. And also, if they think they can win, then you probably would, I guess, because it's the 100 million that you're never going to get anywhere else. And if you don't Sheffield United are or whoever it else was. Leeds. Is it Leeds, Burnley?
Yeah, you've got to let it play out in the court. They're entitled to explore they're entitled to have a go at it, aren't they? They're entitled to claim it and take them to court over it. I don't see why you wouldn't. I mean, it'd be a lot of money to not bring in.
Yeah. What's your take on it, Rick?
Yeah, I was very much like you. So I'm very keen that Leicester don't lose sight of what on earth happened in the last 18 months from 21-22 through to us getting relegated. It was the biggest single decline in Premier League history, I think. And that wasn't because Everton cheated. That was because we lost sight of what had made us so successful. We'd pushed the envelope ourselves and spent and maxed out wages, etc., and probably were struggling to move players on and asking more money than those players were worth who we wanted to move on. But I don't want us to be blaming others. I'd rather us get our house in order before we consider that. We are getting our house in order. I do feel like we've learned from our mistakes. Getting Maresca in early, selling Maddison and Barnes relatively early so we're not uncertain in the transfer window to get players in. And you know they've made some other decisions that just feel like the club are more in tune with the fans, and I know winning helps, but I feel like we are learning from it, and I wasn't convinced we would do that. So that's what my focus is on. That said, we were a Maddison penalty kick away from going 3-1 up against Everton, and we would have stayed up and they would have gone down anyway, regardless of them getting a points deduction in that season had it landed then as well. So it's fine margins. And yes, we probably are the closest team to warranting financial compensation for that. But I don't know. I'd much rather, and this is probably an unrealistic ask, I'd much rather the Premier League were the ones that could put in a consistent level of punishment for all, Man City, Chelsea, anyone who's getting these charges levelled at them, so that it isn't fans and clubs, etc., having to go litigating others for lost earnings. But yeah, I if we do go for it, I think it's because it's probably there for the taking almost, and it's the same people going to rule on it as the ones that have given the 10-point deduction. So I don't know. I'm not that arsed either way. I'd much rather us just get our house in order and come back up. And Everton are crap. They've been crap for years. I'm glad we aren't just scraping survival every season by the last game. They are dog mess. They've been a bit better this season, but no. Let them continue to be crap and think that the world's against them.
I do remember saying last season to an Everton fan, I actually think the worst thing for either of us is that we stay up. And I sort of still stand by that now. Like financially, maybe not, but we're having a lot more fun than them now.
I think there's a fear with the established, with a club like Everton who haven't been relegated. We haven't been relegated for so long. There's a fear about it that we probably don't have as much of. Do you see what I mean? Like for them, being relegated, it would just be such a loss of status, whereas we kind of embrace it. Like it's like you want that roller coaster, don't you? Like if we come up as champions, then I'm glad we got relegated. Do you know what I mean? Like you need momentum. Yeah. Clubs need momentum. Yeah. You need that dip and up and down to
yeah.
And there's some real stagnated clubs out there, and you feel it when you're there. So it would do Everton the world of good to come down, to be honest. But I don't think anyone there would say it. I think you'd find Leicester fans last season going, well, dropping down will do us good if we come back up. You won't find Everton fans saying that.
Yeah, exactly that. The only other questions we got asked, Rick, and I think you're already getting excited about January in your usual sort of way, because we've been linked with a lad from Argentina that we're not actually signing, but would sign for Man City and then go on loan to us, if indeed
Valentin Barco. It's a shame Jord's not on, because he's a Boca Juniors fan, isn't he? So
well, there may be a reason he's not on this evening. Maybe he's got a little bit excited with him self because we might be signing. Maybe. No, but
well, you know, it's been touch and go with me in the past with certain players, but I don't know what we need. We don't need too much, but it would be a remiss of us not to see what's out there. Another left-footed player is needed, probably in defence. This Barco is a left-back stroke midfielder.
Could he invert? Do you reckon he
can invert? He can invert. He's very Zinchenko. I've said his name right?
No, you said it completely wrong there.
Fucking hell. I've only had a couple of beers as well.
Vinchenko of Arsenal, I believe, the player you're referring
to. Vinchenko, he's a cross between Vinchenko and Danny Teato.
You've said it wrong again, mate. It's Zinchenko.
Yeah, bollocks. Yeah, that'll do.
Zinchenko and Danny Teato.
Shevchenko and Danny Teato. But I also like, we've been linked with Albert Grombeck at Glimt, and he is very good. He is. He's an eight, can play left or right as well, both footed, goal scorer. He'd be the one I'd be looking at, especially as we've had, well, we didn't with Christiansen, but Hermansen's come from, from Scandinavia for a reasonable fee and looked unbelievable, hasn't he, at this level. So, we need a left footed defender as well. Maybe another striker.
Just another one, just because, you know, we need.
Well, Daka's going, isn't he?
I'd like less goalkeepers and more strikers, is what I would like, because currently we have more goalkeepers than strikers. So it just feels imbalanced to me.
And a winger that could score. And, you know my thoughts on wingers, but.
Well, we've got. I think we've got some nice wingers. And Michael, do you get excited about the transfer window, or is it just a load of nonsense?
I got really excited about Tete when I listened to
that's my fault. Sorry, Michael.
I do get excited about it because, like, you know, I'm not like Rick. Like, I don't see players coming on the horizon or anything like that. But you get excited because it's like opening a pack of stickers. You don't know if you're going to get good ones or bad ones. Do you know what I mean? I'm not into European football and watching all that. I don't mind it. It's like pressing a magic button and getting a few players in, and you just don't know how they're going to be.
Indeed. Do you get any more? You don't work for a club, so I'm presuming you won't get sort of the inside track on transfers or anything like that. But
no, you don't. You don't. And I think that's because the inside track's out there so much these days anyway. You know what I mean? Like, it's just signposted, isn't it? Everything is, there's not many transfers that spring up and get you that quickly. So yeah, it's a bit crap for them. I mean, you find out bits and bobs about things that, you know, you get a bit of gossip about X, Y, and Z, but yeah, no, it's not really like that. Sometimes we do work a bit for clubs. So sometimes, who was it? Like, I had to go and shoot Gareth Bale for Tottenham, and it was like, oh, you know, we're going to do these Gareth Bales, don't tell anyone. And you drive in and there's 10 film crews there waiting for Gareth Bale. Do you know what I mean? Everyone knows.
Yeah. Right. I think we're probably into the any other business section, but Jordan's not here, so I won't play Phil Neville. And I also don't know whether we've got any other business this week, Rick, have we?
I've got one thing, and I think Michael will be a valid contributor to this. I text you on Friday. Beaconsfield Services is the elite services in this country. What's your favourite services? You could go up and down the country, pal.
I don't know. Beaconsfield. Where's Beaconsfield?
On the outskirts of M40.
It's not really my patch. I mean, people go on about Gloucester, don't they? But
Gloucester's good.
I don't rate Gloucester. I think Gloucester's just a farm shop, isn't it? It's not.
Yeah. It's just like an M&S. The queues are a nightmare. It's not my scene. I'm a big. I use Knutsford all the time, which is gets the job done. I mean, I don't like having to go up on the bridge. You know, it annoys me that you've got to go on the bridge and M&S on the bridge and stuff. So if I was going to say my favourite service station, And I do think about this a lot, and we do as sport photographers talk about this a lot. I need to think, it's getting awkward. I'm going to say the A43 ones in Northampton. And that's because they're very easy to get into. And there's a McDonald's that's open until...
I was going to say, that's all there is to it at McDonald's, really, isn't it? There's a Leon there as well?
Yeah, there's a Leon. Oh, yeah. If you're there in the day, you can get something a bit better. But trust me, since COVID, mate, service stations have gone down the pan because they close. You don't get 24-hour service now is disrupted. A lot of the time, they don't let you into the petrol station so you can go and buy a bag of crisps. So I like the A43 for that. And I also like an obscure little service station near Uttoxeter, but for the same reason that it's got McDonald's that's open late. I mean, I wish you'd told me that because I would have done a little bit more thinking on it.
Sorry, mate. Have a think. You can always
I'll tell you what's overrated service station. The ones near Oxford that everyone goes on about being brilliant, but it takes you so long to get into them.
Yeah, that is rubbish. And it's so far off the motorway, I agree.
Oh, such a pain. I hate that. And you know the clue is when they say, service is 1.5 miles, and you go, yeah, I know what that fucking half mile is.
Yeah.
Driving around roundabouts, slip roads on the way in.
I think rugby services is underrated, actually. I like rugby service.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mm. Watford Gap's got a lot of history to it. You know that a lot of musicians used to meet at Watford Gap after gigs on the way back from the north.
Really?
You have like Jimi Hendrix there.
And Toddington's got its synonymous with Wembley, isn't it? Every year we'd go to Wembley, you'd be Toddington. I like Carlisle. It's an absolute fucking trek, isn't it? But I've got fond memories of being there.
Long way to go just for the services.
I know, mate, but, you know, I was a loose end for a few days, so I popped up there and back. But, I remember being in there. You remember Lloyd, who came on and did Who Are You the other week?
Yeah.
Me and him had been the Open at St Andrews and were driving back and ended up there. And never forget, it was like early hours, so there was barely anyone in there. And they took McDonald's, Michael will like this. The geezer who was working there, he kept shouting, "Is there anybody waiting?" There was just me and him. And it was bloody hell. And he kept doing it. So they obviously must have put him on the graveyard shift because he were a menace. Good services.
Weatherby services is great. Weatherby services. But again, it's just a little bit of a pain to get into. You've got to buy the petrol stations. Loads of speed bumps.
Yeah.
I got caught short at Hereford. I had to have a poo in the bush at Hereford. Then scuttle over into the services. Yeah, nightmare.
That's really short. You got caught really short.
Yeah, I did.
Bushes in the service station.
Yeah, just it were more like a trump in the bush. I was just worried that I might not make it. And then, that's a scuttling horrible. Very unpleasant.
That's the name of this podcast because I was looking for a title. It's called A Trump in a Bush. but, okay, well, you know... We do have a very active listener base. So if you've got a story about a service station and want to get it read out, I will get it read at some point when we've got space for it. So yeah, good AOB that, Rick.
Thank you.
I'm still thinking about it. There's so many good services that are difficult to get into. The one on the M6 toll's a nightmare as well.
You're the perfect person to talk about service stations, really, because I imagine you spend a lot of time on the road.
Yeah, I do, yeah. I spend a lot of time eating as well.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. Right. Hold on. So Jordan's not made
Sheffield Wednesday.
Because he couldn't get a lift back from the football, so I assume he had to walk, but... And they've lost their third game in 3 years. So that's
not for the lad.
Yeah, we've not really talked about Sheffield Wednesday, but if you want to hear mine and Brick's thoughts on the Sheffield Wednesday game, you can always listen to the Wednesday Till I Die podcast where we've given our thoughts in their preview episode, which I think is only accessible via Patreon. So actually no one's going to listen to that. So that's a crap idea.
but if you're that arsed.
What do you want to talk about on Wednesday? I am conscious that
it's a long time. I mean, on paper, we should, you know, I've been critical that we haven't scored enough goals. Collectively, we have. I mean, games we've not scored, you know, more than two in that often. It'd be nice to put three or four past them. But again, at this point, you just want the win, don't you? Worry about that. They are diabolical. But then, you know, we've got a bad record at Hillsborough in sort of my 30-plus years of supporting Leicester. I can only remember us winning there a couple of times. So, I think we need to rotate, even though it's only the first game back. I think with nine games in, you know, just over a calendar month, we need to make sure we use the squad wisely. I'm surprised Cody didn't start, if I'm honest, against with both Vestergaard and Fass playing. So I'd like to see him play because I don't think he'll play against West Brom. And at the minute, he's a glorified cheerleader, isn't he, Cody? Bless him. And I'd like to see him get some minutes. Cannon needs a run out, which we did mention earlier. But yeah, I'm quietly confident we'll get the win. But, you know, you never say never, do you?
No, you don't. I don't. Yeah, it feels like a game we should win, really, is all I've got to say on it, really. Anything to you, Michael?
No, I always think that we're one game away from a massive disaster. So 2-0, Sheffield Wednesday. Okay, some red card and someone doing a cartilage.
Yeah. Well, yeah, hopefully no injuries. Right. The only bit of AOB I've got is everyone that's got a ticket to the quiz on Saturday, I will see you there. You will have seen the tweet today while I announced the prizes. So we've got assigned this season's squad framed shirt from the club that they've very kindly donated. We've got Gary Nicker to sign something. Jameson is sending me some whiskey. I've got some cups. The whiskey's on its way. So thank you to them. Chutney Ivy have done a meal for two, and there's a couple of t-shirts from Footy Fits. So if you win, you're going home with a load of stuff. Rick's been practicing his celebrations all week. We've got four rounds out of five written. I think Jake's back for it as well. So
he is, yeah.
It's all very, very exciting. So, and there are still a few tickets available if anyone wants to enter a team late. Should we call it there, gents?
Yes, let's do so.
Michael, thank you very much for coming on. I'd love to have you on again because I feel like we've only just scratched the surface of motorway service stations and other stories, but I think we need to keep this as an ongoing feature.
I'm still thinking about the services.
We'll get you back on next week to talk about the services.
There must be a podcast based on services.
Well, I think there's a sideline now in which we're going to have to create one. So, yeah, there's a niche there.
All the good ones are a nightmare to get into. That's the problem. Anyway, sorry, yeah, it was an honour to come on. I mean, thanks. You've had Gary Lineker, you've had Pussy Man Dan. To share a stage with those is amazing.
Well, thanks. Our two most esteemed guests, as we always describe them, friends of the show. Rick, thank you as ever, ever present. Never let me down. Unlike
sad, you. Pathetic. That's more like it. Ain't got a life. But thank you, mate. Thanks for coming on, Michael. Great to meet you, pal.
Joking, Jordan. I love you, really. All right. See you soon. Thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.